Thank you, Bob, so much for pointing out my age to everybody. It's a great privilege to be able to celebrate my 21st birthday three times this year. It's good to see some new, and some of you actually haven't been here for many years. How many years is that, Phil? About 9 years. You go from the Orkneys and visiting family. We remember when he came to the prayer meeting and we prayed for his church up there. To see quite a number of new people here today. And we just pray that you'll be really blessed by Jesus, because that's who we're here for. Shall we just pray for a moment? Do you mind if you're, you just sat down, haven't you? Just stand up for a moment and just offer ourselves and God's word. Father, we just come to you this morning, praying, Father, for a revelation of Jesus Christ. Father, asking that you would open the eyes of our understanding, that you would open our hearts, that you would soften our wills and cause us to be inclined to do your will today. Give us understanding, give us clarity. Father, could your voice be speaking to us in Jesus' name? It is working. Fantastic. Okay. So a few weeks ago, I talked and I'd spoken a couple of times on this subject of what some people call the tabernacle, which means God's tent, basically. That's the correct translation. And it was a place where God chose to live with the children of Israel as they moved through the wilderness. Some people call it the tabernacle in the wilderness, the tent in the desert. But essentially, it was the place that God put himself so that he could be with Israel as they journeyed through the desert. And that's a picture a bit closer up. The first one shows all of them camped around the tabernacle. And you remember that it's got this pillar of smoke during the day and a pillar of fire during the night. It was very dramatic. And for 40 years, as they traveled through the wilderness, they carried with them the presence of God. And as I said, that's a picture of it close up. This is what God said. Let them make me a sanctuary. That means a holy place that I may dwell in their midst. And the incredible thing is, if we could believe it, is that God wants to live in the middle of his people, of his church. And who is the church? You are the church. I am the church. We are the church. And so God wants to do something amongst us where he has a dwelling place, because his desire ever since creation has always been that he would live with us as close as possible. And in the Old Testament, this was as close as they were going to get. And that was it at night. Can you imagine just camping around that pillar of fire, which it kept them warm during the night, and it covered them from the rain or from the cold during the day. But all those little campfires camped around. Just imagine if one of those was yours. And inside the tabernacle, inside this thing, it was essentially made of three parts. There was the outer court, and you can see that outside bit, which was called the court of the tabernacle. Do you know, I've got a little red thing here. I've never used it before. Can you see it there? The court of the tabernacle. And a lot of things went on in that. As they came in from the east side, the entrance there, they came past this altar of burnt offering, past a thing called the laver where the priests washed themselves. And then they came into the next section, which was called the holy place. Bring you back. There we are. The holy place. And inside that there was another bit which was called the Holy of Holies, or the holiest of all. That was the holiest place in the world at that time, because God was there, and that's where he decided he was going to meet with them. And it says in this verse here, Exodus 25, verse 22, God said to Moses, "There I will meet with you, and from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubim that are on the ark of the testimony, I will speak with you about all that I will give you in commandment for the people of Israel." He said, "There I will meet with you." These are wonderful words. Do you know God wants to meet with us now, today? "There I will meet with you." So this incredible performance and architecture was set up with the sole purpose that God could meet with them and that he would speak with them. When the other day, Philippa and Alan very kindly offered their shed for us to pray for the day, and people came and prayed for various times during the day. And when I was there, I noticed a little card up there. I don't even know what psalm it was, but the words of it have stayed with me. It said, "Lord, do not be silent, and Lord, do not be still." It's one of the psalms, and it's become my prayer over these last weeks. Oh God, don't be silent. Speak to me. Speak to us. And Lord, please do not be still. If ever there was a time when God was not moving in our hearts as a church, that would be a terrible time. Because God doesn't want to be still. He wants to meet with us and he wants to speak with us. And right in the middle of that tent, there was a thing called the Ark of the Covenant, which is essentially a great big box. And this box contained the Ten Commandments. And on top of that was a big gold slab, which was called the mercy seat. And on top of that, there were these two golden angels. And they were essentially there to protect God's presence. They weren't there to welcome us, actually. When Adam and Eve were thrown out of the garden, the cherubim stood in front of that gate with fiery swords to stop them coming back. Because God didn't want us in our sinful state. He wouldn't allow us into his presence. In fact, this is what Moses instructed Aaron. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron, your brother, not to come at any time into the holy place inside the veil before the mercy seat that is on the ark, so that he may not die." The God that we have been worshiping this morning is an awesome God. He is a holy God. And had he not poured out the blood of his son on Calvary, there would have been no way into his presence. And so the priests had, there was so much blood sacrificed. In fact, when Solomon dedicated the temple, I did a little calculation of all the animals that were slain and the pints of blood that would have been in each of those animals. And the blood that was shed, even on that day, would have filled a swimming pool. So much blood sacrificed. The brass altar in the holy place where sacrifices day after day were made for different reasons, it would have been a bloody place. There would probably have been a smell of blood, actually. Not inside the holy place, but certainly outside. Because an incredible price was paid. The picture of all these animals dying and shedding their blood was merely a picture of the blood of Jesus Christ being shed for our sins so that we could come into that holy presence and that he could dwell with us, he could meet with us, and he could speak to us. What a privilege it is. "There I will meet with you from above the mercy seat, and there I will speak with you about all that I will give you." Isn't it wonderful that God wants to speak with us about all sorts of things? He wants to talk to you about your work. He wants to talk to you about your family. If we would listen better, God has so much that he would say to us. And then we come into this next section, which I believe is like the prayer room. As I've read this, more and more I realize that this is just wonderful tips on how to pray are in this holy place, in this next section. There are three bits of furniture in there. There is the altar of incense, the golden lampstand, and the table of showbread. And as I was meditating on this over these last couple of weeks, I realized that each of those bits of furniture had to do with one of our senses. So the lampstand was there really to give us sight, because that holy place was completely curtained in. It was a totally dark place. And unless they lit that lampstand, there would be no light. And so as we pray, as we are in our Sunday morning meeting, as we are in our prayer meeting, as we are praying with our friends, God wants to bring light to us. He wants to give us light about himself. I often pray, God, give me today grace to know you. Because no one can know the Father unless the Son reveals him. No one can know Jesus unless the Father reveals him. And so every day we need this grace of God giving us light as to who he is. God wants to give us light as to the state of our own hearts. The reason we don't go on with God is because we don't see the state of our own hearts. We think sometimes that things are absolutely fine, but God sees things differently. And in his wonderful love and mercy, he will shine light into our hearts. How many people here during their prayer time have found that God is speaking to them about the state of their own hearts, apart from me? I've read a great book, I'd recommend it to people, by Tim Keller on prayer. And he talks about prayer as essentially being three parts. And I found this very helpful. It is upward, it is inward, and it is outward. And so when we start to pray, it's a wonderful thing just to remember that in prayer, if this is all you remember, that start your prayer upwards. Begin to thank God for who he is. Ask God to reveal himself to you. Yesterday, I wanted to get out of the house and pray a little bit about this talk and about various things. I found it easy to actually get out and walk. And I remember walking out of the house and thinking, what shall I pray? How shall I pray? And thinking, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Okay, that's an easy place to start. Father, I thank you that you are my Father. I thank you that I am born from above. I thank you that you are a wonderfully kind Father. And yet you are in heaven. You are awesome. You are holy. You are powerful. You are everlasting. You are an amazing and a wonderful God. Lord, I thank you for who you are. And as I began to pray upwards, a bit of light and revelation started to enter my heart. And I began to praise him more. And then I found as I was walking along that God was beginning to speak to me about myself, about things in my heart, maybe attitudes, different things. And then I go back to him and say, Lord, yes, I see that. I began to think about things that I had said, things that I had thought, the way that I had done things. And yeah, I had to bring them back to God. So he gave me light about myself. And then I want to remember always to pray for others as well. I don't know how easy you find that. I find one way of doing is praying in concentric circles. By that I mean start by praying for yourself, and then start praying for your family maybe, and then start praying for people that you may be in some way responsible for. So if you work with the children, you might want to start praying for them. If you've got friends on Alpha, you might want to be praying for them. And then we can start praying for other things as God leads us. But he wants it to be upwards first. That's most important. And then it will become inward. And then we want to get more outward, don't we? And this is the light. Secondly, there was a smell. This was for the nose. There was a fragrance in that second one, that golden altar of incense. And they brought this incredible incense. We're not going to talk about this today. But as that incense went up, it was like prayer. And David said in the Psalms, let my prayer be counted as incense before you, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening offering. So prayer is that altar of incense, that beautiful fragrance. And they had to take off their clothes, the priests, when they got back, and put on their ordinary clothes when they got out of the tabernacle. And God said, lest you transmit holiness to the people. because there was something on their garments. It was the fragrance of God's presence. And if we don't spend any time in God's presence, there will be no fragrance in our lives. And this is the one I wanted to focus on today, the taste. Something for the taste buds. It was called the table of showbread. That's what it's traditionally known as. But it was really just a table of bread that was in that holy place. John 6:35, Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. And whoever believes in me will never thirst." That's an amazing promise, isn't it? And that's what it's about today. It's about coming to Jesus. That's what prayer is. And as we do that, he wants to feed us. He wants to satisfy us. I think of all the things that why I became, as a teenager, a fervent Christian, is that table of showbread. I tasted something that was so good. I remember talking to a male model. And he'd been through a tragic situation. Do you remember that boat that went down on the Thames? And there were a lot of fashion people on it, and some of them were his friends. And he was really into drugs, this guy, and a very wild lifestyle. And he came and spoke at New Life one day. And I remember him saying that when he met Jesus, the only way he could describe it was that if I could put this feeling into a pill, I would make an awful lot of money, because it was so much better what he had experienced. This bread of God, this living bread. And Jesus said, "I'm the bread of life. If you will come to me, you'll never hunger and never thirst." And this was my experience when I became a Christian. The first day I met Jesus when I was 17, to my complete surprise, I experienced a satisfaction and a joy. I used to have a poster up in my room of a desert. Verdon's not here this morning, but he remembers the company. They were called Athena, that we used to buy all our posters. Phil remembers. We used to buy all our funky posters from. And this one said, "When I found Jesus, I found what I wanted when I found the Lord. I found what I wanted when I found the Lord." And it just described my Christianity, my Christian experience. But it's for us, isn't it? It's for all of us. And as the days go by, sometimes I'm not very good at prayer, and I have a hunger. And maybe if I've not prayed very much that day or not at all, and at the end of the day, I feel so hungry. I feel so empty. I begin to feel miserable. I can even feel depressed because I don't have that experience of the living bread. But Jesus said, if any of you comes to me and believes in me, they will never be hungry. So he is so willing to fill us and to feed us. A little bit about this in the Bible, John 6:35. Jesus said to them, "I'm the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger." And then in Exodus 25, it describes this particular bit of furniture. "You shall make a table of acacia wood. 2 cubits shall be its length, a cubit its breadth, and 1.5 cubits its height. You shall overlay it with pure gold and make a molding of gold around it. And you shall make a rim around a handbreadth wide and a molding of gold around the rim." And I just want to just pull a couple of points out of this. First of all, it was made of wood, this acacia wood. And all those things in the holy place were made the same way. They had a wooden base, and then this pure gold was poured over them. And it's just a picture of our wonderful Jesus that came as a man and lived a perfect life of love and obedience and went through all the stuff that we go through, yet without sin. And then he entered glory. And now he is clothed with gold, this most precious thing. It's a picture of Jesus. Jesus the man and Jesus the Son of God. And then there was a molding of gold around it. And apparently the Jews at the time of Jesus used to call those crowns. There were 2 crowns around the edge. Like, so if the bread fell off, it would have to get through kind of 2 bits before it fell off. And it's a picture of the crown of Jesus. So he wore two crowns. The first crown that he wore was the crown of thorns, was the crown of suffering. And I often think about that crown of thorns as it was thrust on Jesus' head and the blood that flowed from his head. How incredible that our Jesus, the Son of God, would allow that crown of thorns to be pressed into his head so that we could be redeemed. Some people have said that it's a picture of mental illness, that the blood that flowed from his head was in a special way typical of how he was sacrificed for all the things that trouble our minds. But that was Jesus. And the Bible says in Philippians 2 that he laid down his life, he was crucified, and he gave his life unto death. And therefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at that name of Jesus, every knee will bow. And there will be a day when all the nations will be before him, when everybody is raised up, and every knee will bow, believer and non-believer, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And we have that choice now. And many of us have made that choice. Jesus, I'm making you Lord now. I want you to be my Savior now. Because I would not want to stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the Ancient of Days that we sang about this morning without that robe of righteousness on me, which he provided by his blood. It says there were four rings. And so this table, it had like four rings at the side, and then a couple of gold poles were put through it. And the whole idea of that, and there's a picture of it here, that when they were on the move, these poles were put through the furniture and they were carried on the shoulder of the priests, and it was on the move. So this table of showbread, how brilliant that tomorrow morning when you wake up, that table of showbread is there. When you go to work, that table of showbread is there. And very often, you know, when I'm working or doing different things, sometimes I get out my phone and I read my Bible and I just want to feed my soul on Jesus. And I find that actually reading his word to him in prayer is a very good way of doing that. But it's mobile as well. Exodus 25:23, you shall make its plates and dishes for incense, etc., etc. I'm going to skip this one because of time. And then verse 30, and you shall set the bread of the presence on the table before me regularly. So most translations call it the bread of the presence. How wonderful that this bread is the bread of God's presence. But actually the Hebrew means the bread of the face. Panim lechem, the bread of the face. How do we experience this bread of God? By looking at the face of Jesus Christ. I want us at the end, God willing and Johnny willing, to sing that beautiful song, I See Your Face. It's beautiful. There's a lovely bit in there where it turns us to the cross and we see him hanging on the cross. And I love that more than any other part of that song. And sometimes as we sing that, I just think, I see you. I see you. There on the cross for me as that bread that was broken for me, the bread of the presence. And then it says in Leviticus 24, it says, you shall take fine flour and bake 12 loaves. It was made of fine flour. It had to be really beaten down. And it speaks about the incredible obedience of Jesus. When fine flour is used in the offering, I don't want to bore you with this, but I've always found it rather wonderful that oil flows through fine flour. If it's all lumpy, it's not very good. But where you get really fine flour and you pour oil upon it, it just goes whoosh, and just fills the whole thing. And the life of Jesus was like that, because he was so broken, he was so obedient, he was so willing that God could pour out the Holy Spirit upon his life to the absolute maximum. Do you want that? We have to be fine flour, don't we? God, have your way in my life. And then it says there were 12 loaves. Now that word loaves Again, look, if you get back and find the Hebrew of that word, it says chala, and that word means pierced through. That cake that they used, that loaf that they used, it was a pierced loaf. There's a picture of what it might have looked at there. But it was pierced so that it didn't get puffed up. That's a nice picture of Jesus, isn't it? Because there was nothing puffed up about him. How incredible that this one who could say, I am the Son of God. I am the light of the world. I am the Lamb of God. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I. Nobody else could say that and not be puffed up. But Jesus remained not puffed up. He was the pierced bread. It was the bread of piercing. So this bread that they ate, it wasn't just normal. It was pierced bread. And the bread of God's presence that he wants us to enjoy is pierced. Jesus was pierced when he was had died. Do you remember the Roman soldier went up to him with that spear and pierced his side? And blood and water flowed out. He was the pierced one. And then how this bread was laid out, I think, is a really wonderful thing. Every Sabbath day, this is Leviticus 24, verse 8 and 9, Aaron, the high priest, shall arrange it before the Lord regularly. It's from the people of Israel as a covenant forever. And it shall be for Aaron and his sons, and they shall eat it in a holy place, since it is for him a most holy portion out of the Lord's food offerings. Just something else there that I haven't got the verse up here for, but another thing about it was that it had to have frankincense on it. So the high priest got frankincense and put it on that bread so that it would also be a fragrance to God. So first of all, the life of Jesus was always for his Father. We think that he came for us, but actually he first came for his Father. We think he died for us, but first of all, he died as worship to his Father. And the first thing in his life was it was worship. It was a fragrance of frankincense to his Father. And that's good for our lives too. It's at the beginning of the day, Jesus, this day is for you. It's not for me. It's not even for my family. It's not even for my friends or my workmates. This is for you, Lord. And the frankincense goes up to him, and the fragrance of that frankincense goes out with us into the place that we go. And this bread, the high priest arranged on that table every week. And it says in verse, it is from the people of Israel as a covenant forever. And it shall be for Aaron and for his sons. And they shall eat it in a holy place, since it is for him a most holy portion out of the Lord's food offerings, a perpetual due. There's a picture there of the priests, an old woodcut of the priests gathering round that table. Because every Sabbath day, every Saturday, as it would have been, the high priest went in, he rearranged it. They brought out the old loaves, they brought in the new loaves, so that there was always a freshness about the bread. And then they ate it. But they didn't take it back to their own little tent. All the priests ate it together. And you know, there's an incredible thing about prayer and together that we learn from this. I was thinking about this thing of light fragrance and taste. That for me, the prayer meeting, I love our Tuesday night prayer meeting. The Tuesday night prayer meeting has changed my life. I would say, and Pat would say so too, about 10 years ago, maybe a little bit more than that, I know that my heart had grown cold in certain ways, certainly as regards to reaching those that don't know Jesus. My heart used to be burning when I was first a Christian, and I knew I'd backslidden in that way. And I just prayed that God, as I'm just before you, as we're praying, please move in my heart. And I've just found that week by week, month by month, year by year, it's something God has done. Because in that holy place, when we are together with the priests of God, something happens in our heart in a way that doesn't happen when we pray individually. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together, I'm there. We knew that anyway. But what he was saying was, I'm there in a special way. I'm rarely there, and there in a special way. And that's the prayer meeting. And I find that first of all, light comes to me. I find that the moment I'm praying together with other people, that I meet God. You know, something new, something fresh, something exciting. I can't remember a prayer meeting I've been to when I haven't gone back with a better thought of God. I find that I'm just fed in my soul. I often find just maybe when I'm praying with Joe, or often as I pray with people in the church, I do experience just something of the presence of God, just as you're praying with other people. I'm fed in my soul. It affects my sight. It affects my hearing as well, my sight. And there's a fragrance there, isn't there? That when we're praying together, when we go out of the meeting today, you will be in a better place than when you came in. And there will be a fragrance upon you if you have touched God and if you have worshipped him. But it's together, those priests together. I'm going to finish there. And just with this thought here in Psalm 27, verse 8. You said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. Johnny, would you mind coming up? If there's any other musicians or whatever, then do come. Because I'd love us to really just sing about this and experience some of this. I do pray that when I come to the meeting on Sunday, God, I want to experience you. Sometimes personally, I'm so busy, you know, doing this, doing that, getting ready for this, making sure this happens, that it's easy to forget that that it's possible for me to experience God while I'm here. And I find that these days, more and more, I want to just make sure that I am in touch with God and being changed myself. But this is for all of us. John 6:35, do you remember it said, Jesus said to them, I'm the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Whoever comes to me. Let's stand, shall we? But I want us to look at the words. I love looking at the words of the songs. We sing so much better a new life when we sing with understanding and really believe, because it says, he who comes to me. So that's what we can all do in our hearts. We can come to him. And he who believes, you know, sometimes there's something about believing that is actually just saying, I believe, you know, I see your face in every sunrise. Do you do that sometimes? In London, it's harder, isn't it? You have to go on the top of Parliament Hill to do this. I see your face in every sunrise, the colours of the morning. As I've got older, I appreciate creation more and more. The world awakens in the light of the day. I look up to the sky and say, you're beautiful. Now, when I first sang this, I struggled with those words, you're beautiful. I thought maybe this is a bit irreverent. But then I remembered verses in the Bible that says, you shall behold the King in his beauty. Of all the beautiful things in the world, they all derive from God. And God himself is far more beautiful than anything else that we can ever imagine. You're beautiful. And then it goes on, it says, I see your face in every sunrise. The next verse is, I see your power in the moonlit night. The other day, Joe and I came back from somewhere and we saw that little crescent moon hanging at the end of our road with Venus beside it, like it belonged to it. And that makes me worship these days. That's my Father. That thing has been spinning in place for thousands of years, perfectly kept by our God. Where planets are in motion and galaxies are bright. We're amazed in the light of the stars. It's all proclaiming who you are. You're beautiful. And then it says, I see you there hanging on a tree. You bled and then you died and then you rose again for me. Now you are sitting on your heavenly throne. Soon you will be coming home. You're beautiful. Let's sing this together, shall we?
I don't know what kind of a week you've had, whether it's been full of grace and glory, or challenge and difficulty, or just quite ordinary. I was thinking this morning about that prayer that David prayed in Psalm 61. Have we got it on the screen? Yes. Hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer. From the ends of the earth I call to you. I call as my heart grows faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the foe. I long to dwell in your tent forever and take refuge in the shelter of your wings. For you, God, have heard my vows and have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. And this feels like the prayer of somebody who has grown distant from God, doesn't it? Somebody who feels as if they're praying from the ends of the earth. And I guess David would be, he would see prayer as something he's doing in the temple on that great mountain of God. So his prayer is, take me to that rock that is higher than I. I think we become distant from God, don't we, when I becomes the sort of, it's like as if I think it's all about me. This thing of me being at the centre of things and until we come to our senses and begin to see that Jesus needs to be at the centre of everything. It's as if, you know, there is that that distance from God. I think, thinking this morning, in some ways, when you feel far from God and you feel that desperate hunger, in some ways that's not a bad place to be, actually. I think the worst place to be is a place I find myself sometimes of actually feeling, yeah, okay. my prayer this morning for myself and all of us is that we should feel not that kind of, yeah, okay, yeah, here I am at church again, you know, to worship God, listen to the word, but that there might be a hunger in my heart to meet with God today. And we're starting this morning as that psalm is a kind of prayer psalm. We're starting this morning with a prayer song. Open the eyes of my heart. Well, let's stand, shall we? And let's just pray as we begin to sing this prayer song. We're going to sing it slightly differently today. It's always good, I think, to do something a little bit different. Sandra's going to sing the first verse to us in Spanish. So you've just got the opportunity to look at the words. If you've got a Spanish, sing away. Join in. It's not it's not even my fourth language, I don't think, Spanish. And let's meditate on these words as Sandra sings them to us. And then we'll sing them in English and we'll sing the chorus in Spanish and English, I think. Or just in Spanish. Keep it in English, okay. But let's see this as a prayer. God, we're asking you, Jesus, this morning. Open, open, open the eyes of our heart that we may truly see you as you are. That we may see our desperate need of you, Lord. Jesus, if we feel desperately thirsty for you, Lord God, then that cry is genuine, Lord. We need you. Lord, if our hearts are a bit lukewarm, oh God, stir us again. Lord Jesus, Lord, reveal yourself to us. Reveal again afresh to us our desperate need for you and your wonderful willingness to meet us in that need. Amen. You've proved your love to us, Lord, on that awful cross, Lord Jesus, when you paid that price for us, Lord, every drop of blood, every moment of agony, Lord, that you suffered for us, Lord Jesus, Lord. Lord, thank you for this demonstration of your love, Lord. Thank you for the power of that, Lord Jesus, Lord, to change us, to forgive us, to help us, to heal us, Lord. As we come to you this morning, you're grateful people, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to take the offering now. If you're a visitor, don't feel under any obligation to give. But if you'd like to give, then do feel free. Offering is delivered into this beautiful red bucket here at the front. If you're a taxpayer and want us to reclaim the tax, there are envelopes on the information points here that you can fill in. But let's continue in our worship as we present our offerings to God. Amen. Shall we stand? Just again, a very warm welcome to you if this is the first time you've joined us this morning. Lovely to see you. If you'd like us to stay in touch with you, then there is a form you can complete that looks like this. So if you want to fill that in and pop it in the little box on the information point, then we can let you know what's happening at New Life Church. Philippa, would you like to come and talk to us about Alpha?
Hi. Alpha actually started last Wednesday, and we had a really great evening, but it's not too late to join us, to come and ask those questions and to find out about Christianity. So we start with a meal, a video, a chance to then discuss what we've watched on the video. So if you've still got friends who are possibly interested, or even in the church here, if you're thinking, oh, I really would like to find out a bit more about Christianity, do come this Wednesday.
Thanks very much. Pat, wanted to share something, a testimony.
I'll keep you for about half an hour. I'm really joking, Bob. Recently, we go to prayer meeting every Tuesday at Highgate Chapel. Is that right?
Yeah.
So you can come Tuesday, all well and good. Well, we've been praying about my girlfriend for a long time just to come to the church. And last week, thank God she came. And she had a really good time. She didn't feel intimidated. She did on the way, because she said she was feeling a bit nervous. But just thank all the people that just really welcomed her. And she's going to do Alpha. She's not going to do it this time. She's going to do it the next time, okay? Which is kind of like, beyond our control. God's in control of this. And just thank God that, you know, that we prayed for months and she did come along. And she's recently had problems with her eyes. She's got a bit of healing, not completely healed, but God's in there somewhere. It's just thanks for all the prayers of the church, and just really just want to thank God. God is good.
Thanks, Pat. So yes, prayer meeting Tuesday, 7:30, Highgate Road Chapel, lovely just to gather together and pray. Fantastic opportunity. On Sunday, the 9th of February, which is next Sunday, we're going to have an all-age service. We have a slide. There it is. Look, that's us. Oh, my goodness me. That's me on the right. Okay. You need to pray. For those who don't know, we've got a slightly delicate back. So, if I'm like that next Sunday, then God will have moved amazingly during the week, and I'll be very grateful. So all-age service, you might want to limber up, do a bit of a few exercises during the week so you're ready for the all-age service. We're going to have lunch afterwards, so if you could bring something to share as well, that would be fantastic. So it's next Sunday, 9th of February. Sally wanted to give us an update on shoeboxes.
Go to Phil and say you want to get some pictures up, and he's told me I've got to do it off my phone. So this is where some of our shoeboxes went. Remember back at Christmas, many of us put together shoeboxes and then they were taken to a distribution centre. And I heard on Thursday that our shoeboxes went to Moldova, and Jan also heard on Thursday that some of the shoeboxes we put together went to Belarus. So these are just some pictures of the children. Let me get to the pictures of the children. Really enjoying opening the boxes. Just, they've sent loads of pictures. So lovely to see their excitement, their delight. And some will have gone to African countries. It's just so many places. It's lovely to see the end result of our efforts of putting these shoeboxes together. It does tell a couple of stories. This child with her watch on, some of the boxes went to a special needs orphanage. And she was so thrilled to have a watch. They set the time for her. And then she kept running around saying, is it for me to keep? Because in the orphanage, so much is shared. She couldn't believe that this watch was one that she could actually keep just for her. So it's so lovely to see. Thank you.
Thanks, Ellie. Fantastic. Charity Wood is coming up on the 19th of June. Joe will wave the leaflets. Yay, that's the leaflets. This is Joe. So at the back on the information point. So if you're coming to Charity Wood, you need to fill in a form. Okay, lovely. It's that time of the year when a certain young man celebrates his birth. It's a significant birthday. His name is James Crawley. Where is he? Mr. James Carr. James, come on down. James is... Oh, look at this. Fantastic. James is a third of Nick's age. Isn't that a sobering thought? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear James. Happy birthday to you. Fantastic. Let's pray, shall we? Let's just pray for James. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your love, Lord God. We thank you for James's birth. We thank you for his birthday, Lord Jesus, Lord. We thank you for all the plans that you have for him, Lord Jesus, Lord. We pray for this coming year, Lord Jesus, that James would meet with you, know you, and walk with you, Lord Jesus, Lord. Know the precious gift of your life within, Lord Jesus, in greater and greater measure. Amen. Amen. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Lost property. If you have lost property here, not just randomly anywhere in the world, but if you've lost property here, then David at the back there, who brought the cake up, the very smart waistcoat. Thank you. Oh, for a moment, I forgot. The very smart waistcoat. Thanks, Nick. He's the man who has a box of lost property, which is on the information desk. And we'll put them on the table today. So I hear a voice speaking to me. Fantastic. So it's now time for the children to leave to go to their... Oh, no, hang on. Wait for it, as they say. Sarah.
Yeah, don't forget, this Sunday is an ECOS Sunday, English Conversation on Sundays. So we've got an update. I think there are now 14 students coming. So if you can speak English reasonably well and you'd like to come and chat to someone whose first language isn't English, come along. We're in a new room. It's actually warm. And it's opposite the drama room where we normally are, the other side of the corridor. If you could come about 10 to 1, that would be really helpful because sometimes people come early. Thank you.
Brilliant. Thanks, Sarah. Okay, now time for the children to go to their groups. If you brought a child for the first time, if you see Jo here at the front, she can tell you which group would be most appropriate.